Hello, bonjour, buenos dias. Welcome to our 33rd episode of the World of Heritage podcast. My name is Mary and with me is Liana. Hi, Liana.
Hi, Mary.
This podcast originally started off as part of Stephanie and Niloufar's study project. And now, some months later, that project is still ongoing. We love having our colleagues on to share their stories here with us on the podcast. The heritage world is so wide and learning what our colleagues do is absolutely fascinating. So how about we introduce today's guest?
Exactly. Today's guest is Abhijit Chakrabarty. Abhijit was born and raised in Bangladesh, where he studied Bengali language and literature for his bachelor degree at Khulna University. He has participated in numerous projects since achieving his degree. A particularly memorable moment was in 2017 when he won an award for Best Social Action Project in Active Citizens Regional Achievers Summit 17, organized by the British Council. Amongst being productive in heritage and culture, a tool that Abhijit uses is story writing, and he has been awarded as the top 200 story writer of Sobai Vino. Excuse me, guys, please don't hate me for butchering this name. Anono Films 2020, organized by USAID. He is currently working as a writer and voiceover artist for Cuckoo FM in Mumbai, India, while studying World Heritage Studies at the Brandenburg University of Technology in Germany. Welcome, Abhijit, to the podcast. How are you?
I'm fine. How about you?
We're good.
All grand. We're glad to have you with us today. So why don't we begin, shall we? So
yes.
So what actually drove you to study Bengali literature and language? As someone who, when originally going to university, I was actually going to do a similar thing with English. So I'm curious what changed your mind.
Well, the literature wasn't my first choice, but it just happened. I want to add that from my childhood, I used to read books a lot. I have a library in my house. My father made this library and there were so many books. So as a child, I used to read story books and there were various kinds of books. My grandmother also loved to read books and my father inherited this habit. And I inherited this habit from my father. So I always had love for literature and it was basically Bengali literature. Literature was one of my favorite subjects, but it wasn't on the top of the choice, but it was in the top five list. And when I go to university, I got chance in literature. So this happened actually.
I love hearing about like the family tie and, you know, it, your grandparents and the stories and reading. This is very interesting to me. But you said that it wasn't exactly a first choice, like, so you didn't actually envision yourself going into this field, or did you envision on something else, studying something else perhaps?
Then I have to tell you a list of my favorite subjects, shall I?
Yes, please.
Okay, my first choice was computer science and engineering. The second one was astrophysics. And in the third list, there were archaeology or heritage studies or psychology. And in four, there were literature. So I got the fourth number as my subject. So I didn't have a choice. Well, I like to read books. I like to read story books and historical books and other stuff, fiction, nonfiction. But I didn't like the idea to criticize literature. You know, as a student of literature, literally you have to dissect the text and criticize them. So I don't like this part, but I had to do these things when I studied in my university. So that's it.
Yeah, that's always the big thing with studying literature. It's always dissecting the text and like, what does this paragraph mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you were awarded the Social Action Project Award you received from the British Council. Can you tell us a bit about the project or what the proposal for that was?
It was in 2017. I was a student of Khulna University. I was in my second year, perhaps. And some of my friends were going to a training session. which was organized by British Council. The name was Active Citizens. It was a training of 3 days, and after completion of the training, they gave us some projects which were named as Social Action Projects, or SAP. And our team chose the topic named Light Behind Darkness, which was actually about the children who were suffering from autism. So we worked for the welfare of the people who are suffering from autism. Actually, we tried to make aware of the thing in the society. In Bangladesh, many people still consider autism as a curse. Even the parents sometimes think that their children are very much abnormal, but we like to call them special child, not abnormal. You know, the child who are suffering from autism, they can do even better than the normal person if they are nurtured and cared in a proper way. So actually we try to aware people about autism and try to teach them to treat them as a normal people. So that was the purpose of our SAP.
That's a brilliant project. Like, I've also done theater with autistic children back when I was in university, and teaching, I noticed that they were better at expressing themselves. Like if you had like angry emotion, everyone's doing an angry emotion. And it was a really good way of integrating, as you said, people together in the community. So that's a really interesting project. I like that a lot. And for now, I have a pandemic question for you. Could you have imagined this project working, like this project that you did that had to involve a lot of people, and basically you couldn't abide by social distancing? So could you have imagined doing this project online in different time zones? Would it have worked, or what kind of challenges do you think you would have faced?
Well, I always try to devote myself in the welfare of humankind as a human. I always try to devote myself toward the betterment of my being. So whenever I get a chance to do something for people, I always try to do things. And about your question, if I get the chance to do such project online in the situation of pandemic, then I would really opt for the project. And as it is happening online, so I don't have the risk of affecting by the COVID. And I had plenty of time. I am still in my house. I don't have to go outside. So I would really like to do the project. And about the challenges, then I'll say that there will be new situations by doing things online. I used to do things in the typical way, in the face-to-face situation there, but I can't do that in online. When we went to the field to talk with the children and their parents, then it was really easy to make them understand about the situation. But when I'm in online, then it is a bit difficult to understand people, the body language and the voice and other stuffs. And there are also the audience who are hearing me or trying to understand me, they may not have the proper knowledge of these things like the Zoom or the other things. So I think these are the sort of challenges I will face if I do this kind of project online. But still, there are people who knows these things, and it can also cover a huge population in one place. When I'm doing this thing in Khulna, then I had only Khulna city. But when I will do the project online, then I may cover other areas of the world. Time zone doesn't matter. If I'm really willing to do the project, I will stay awake in the night, and I can sacrifice some activities of mine, my leisure time. I'll manage time for the project, I can assure that. So yeah, that's it.
I commend your dedication, very much so. Thank you so much, Abhijit. Thank you for your answers. We'll be right back with the next part of the episode after this break, so listeners, stay tuned. So, welcome back to part two of our episode. Abhijit, we noticed that you have an interesting hobby in currency collecting. So I believe it's known as numismatics, if I'm saying that correctly. How old were you when you started collecting?
Well, it was when I was of 8 years old. I was in junior school. And one day, my father gave me a coin. It was a copper coin, and it was from China. So it really made me interested in their stuffs and this kind of stuff. And later on, I find out that my father had this hobby. He really had a collection of coins from various countries. And I eventually inherited those coins from my grandma. And this really inspired me to collect more coins. And from that age, I started collecting coins from various places. Whenever I go to a place in countryside or in another city, then I always try to find the coins. But I really like to collect the ancient coins from the British colonial period. You know, our country and the Indian subcontinent was under the British reign before 1947. So we had coins from East India Company, coin from the British reign. And also after that, Bangladesh was a part of Pakistan. That time it was called as East Pakistan. We have coins from that time period. And later on, after 1971, we got our liberation and it became Bangladesh. Then I have coins from that time. I can say that I have a coin from the Mughal period, which is about 400 years old.
That's so impressive.
There are various kinds of coins from various countries, from England, from UK, from USA, from Malaysia, from Japan, from China, from Pakistan, from Thailand, from Sri Lanka. And there are so many countries.
Amazing.
The list is really long.
So, I mean, my next question's kind of been answered already. This definitely would have triggered your interest in the field of heritage, because all of these worldwide coins and, right? Is this why you got interested in heritage?
Coin is one factor, and there are some other factors which really made me interested in heritage. I would like to talk about my house also. From my birth, I have seen my house, and it was made about 80 years ago before my birth. So it will be 100 years old, and it was the British period. And the architecture of my house is also interesting, although I don't have much knowledge about architecture, but hopefully I would get some knowledge when I'll start the courses in BTU. But let's say some things that I would like to share. Our house is not made of cement or concrete. It is made of other stuffs, but this is really stronger than the concrete. So you can try to understand that this is a complex thing, but architecture is really interesting. One architect friend once came to my house and she said that, wow, this is really something interesting, and it has some interesting architecture. There are some pillars inside my house, and it supported the rooftop, supported the roof. There are steel sleepers, there are other things. As a package, this is really something interesting, and it made me curious about the old buildings. So whenever I go to a place, whenever I see an old building, I try to learn things about those buildings, like the history or who lived there and their history, their lineage and other stuffs. And I went to the museums of Khulna city. There's a traditional museum, and there's another one where I did some voluntary work. Plus, I have a family history. Well, I'm from a Hindu Brahmin family, and it is said that our ancestors came from North India, a place which is formerly called as Kanakunj or something like that. Those factors actually made me really interested in stuff like archaeology and heritage and conservation and all. And the numismatic thing, that is another point which I have taken as a hobby. So those are the factors which really made me interested in heritage.
That's absolutely fascinating, like the different architecture styles for it. I'd recommend there is an architecture or history of architecture class at BTU. So if you're interested in learning about architecture, like definitely would give that a recommend. Speaking of heritage mm-hmm. studies, how did you decide or how did you choose to study World Heritage Studies at BTU? Were there any other universities that you had in mind, or was this your first option?
I actually applied for one subject and in one university, and that was World Heritage Studies in BTU. this is a catchy line, I must say, but there are some facts why I chose BTU. When I was searching online that where should I apply, then I was searching for subjects which were related to archaeology, and I find BTU. And it was fascinating. Then I do some research and I find out that this is the university where this subject started. So BTU is literally the pioneer in this field for this subject. So that's the very reason why I choose BTU and this subject.
So not everyone, especially the older generations, are capable of understanding what we mean exactly by heritage, because to them it's like, okay, heritage, yeah, but what do you study in it? So how have you defined, I'm curious to know, to your family members, perhaps, what does World Heritage Studies mean?
Well, first of all, whenever my mom, my sister, or a neighboring uncle asks me about, okay, so you're going to Germany, what is your subject? What will you study there? Then I simply say that I'll do a master's degree in World Heritage Studies. And the interesting thing is they never ask me about what my subject is about. In most cases, my relatives know what heritage means. But if I have to tell someone what my subject is about, then I would really say that every nation have their own things, like their infrastructures, their own language, their culture, and other cultural elements and other tangible elements. So all those things, this thing will pass time, and after a long time, still those things will be remembered. And by collecting all these steps, we can say that those things are heritage of a certain nation. So as the subject name is World Heritage Studies, then I will study about various nations from various regions, from various countries. And this is all about my subject.
So given that you're going to be starting your heritage degree in the middle of the pandemic, are you planning on moving to Germany, or are you going to be staying home? I think that's the question that everyone in this semester is currently asking themselves. So we're curious what your plan of action is.
Okay, the thing is, I'm a man who like to do things typically. So I like the old school way, and I like to attend classes face to face, like to watch my professors give lectures before my own eyes and hear their lectures. And I like the environment of the class, really. I don't like the online classes, and I hate things doing before my laptop. So still I'm getting some trouble with my visa. As soon as I get my visa, I will just buy tickets and so that's my plan. I will come to Germany as soon as possible.
Don't worry about the visa. Went through it. We all went through it. It's just the long waiting period, but you're going to get it. You're going to get here hopefully soon. And I am wondering, what are you looking forward to most about the BTU program? Are there any classes that you already know you want to take?
Mary was saying something about the architecture thing. So definitely, I think I would like the courses of the architecture. And I still don't know much about the courses, but I think there will be some courses on intangible heritage along with tangible elements. I want to add that when I was in university, then I did my term project on a topic which was the songs of Kaji, Kalu, and Champavati. It is a folk song from my country. And as far as I know, if I'm not mistaken, then folklore, folk songs, and this kind of stuff are part of intangible heritage. So there will be courses on intangible heritage, and I think I would like those things. So the courses of architecture and the courses of intangible heritage, I think these are going to be my favorite courses, hopefully.
Absolutely, and I wish you good luck with that. And for now, we're done with part two, and we're going to take a short break. We'll be back. Welcome back. And this is the last part of our episode. It's been a really great pleasure, Abhijit. I just wanted to ask you that you actually recently volunteered for the 1971 Genocide Torture Archive and Museum. Could you tell us briefly about that experience? Because it's kind of hard for a museum to present such a difficult topic as genocide. So I'm very interested in this.
When I was at the museum in my voluntary work, there is a section which actually collects stories of genocide and torture from the witness of those events. It happened during our liberation war in 1971. Basically, my work was to collect stories for the archive. And if I get a chance to collect any relics of the liberation war, then I used to collect those things from the countrysides and from other well-known areas. There is kind of a map for doing those stuffs. There are some famous places, well-known places, which are marked as the place where the events happened. In Bengali, we call it as Bodhobhumi, when the mass murder happened, actually. So I used to do these things. And for your question, I have to say that it is really hard to show the new generation, to make the new generation understand about the genocide. It is a tough work, a difficult one, but still we tried to do best from our part. We showed their various kinds of relics from those events, collected from those events. There are also some mementos from famous peoples who died during the liberation war. You know, there is a day which is 14th of December 1971. On that very day, the enemies actually killed the best persons of Bangladesh at that time. They were the university teachers, the famous doctors, the engineers, artists, and other people who were our ancestors, who were our best person at that time. If we had those persons till now among us, then our country could be a better one than we have now. So there were also photographs and video footage, not of those events, but after the victory of the war, after 16th December 1971, there are some documentaries about the liberation war, about the genocide. I want to mention one name, which is Tariq Masood. He used to be a brilliant director, but he died in recent years. So by all those things, we tried to show people about genocide, about the torture thing. And we always try to make the new generation aware of our history, aware of our great achievement, aware of our freedom, our independence. So it is tough, but we like to do those things. And I liked to do my voluntary work in that particular museum.
Yeah, that's engaging with the topic like that is always difficult, and trying to engage younger generations, like especially as time goes on, it becomes even more of a challenge and continues as time goes on. You also worked in translating mangas and comics from English to Bengali, which I think is fascinating. I think that'd be a really interesting job to do. Do you believe that mangas and comics actually contribute to modern heritage, actually?
Just consider that a thing which is 200 years old. At that time, perhaps the people of that time didn't consider it as heritage, but it become a part of heritage as it is a part of the culture. So we call it ancient heritage. And in modern age, we like to read mangas, comics, and other stuff. There are animes also. If we consider a thing as a part of our culture or a culture of Japan or Korea or other regions where the mangas, the manhwas are came from, I think this is a part of modern heritage, obviously. Why not? As we are enjoying those things, we're working with those things, and these are becoming the part of our cultures. So yeah, it is part of the modern heritage, in my opinion.
Absolutely love that answer, because exactly like you said, I mean, it doesn't have to be old for something to qualify as heritage, right? Mm-hmm. Or exactly. And for our final question, what is your favorite World Heritage site?
That's a tricky question. To be honest, there is a natural heritage site in my country, and that is the Sundarbans. So this is my most favorite World Heritage site. But if I have to name other places, I don't know much names which are recognized by the UNESCO, but there are some sites that I really like to visit. There are some Greek temples, there are some great ancient infrastructures, and there are some natural heritage too. I'm really bad with the names, so I can't say some particular names, but there are some places that I can picturize but couldn't remember the actual names. So for now, I would say that the Sundarbans is my most favorite World Heritage site.
Thank you so much, Abhijit, for taking the time to share your story with us today. And we hope you had fun with this, and we wish you the best of luck for your first semester, and hope as well you can come to Germany as well and enjoy the in-person classes if we can have them. Just try to be optimistic.
Thank you so much, Mary and Liana. It was really a great experience to talk with you all.
We're so happy to have had you with us today. And thanks to all our listeners as well for supporting the podcast along the way. We've had such a pleasure to see our classmates and get to know them more. And we're always excited to share their stories with you all.
Interested in sharing your thoughts and stories? Feel free to contact us. You can reach us on the Instagram, The World of Heritage, or by email. Thanks again for tuning in. Ciao, au revoir, adios, and goodbye.